Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We have a little change of pace because we've been doing so many original investigative reporting articles and looking at the COVID virus from a different perspective, one that's more honest than the official position. I thought we'd lighten it up today and do something that's both enjoyable and very educational. I'm just at the very end stage of our anti-aging clinical study, and everyone's about to go home, and all their blood tests are being done. So why don't I give you a really good overview of everything and also a lot of tips along the way that can help you start your own anti-aging protocol. All right? And by the way, you can listen to this, watch it. It's going to be right up on PRN.FM.
I'd like to welcome all of you to the Huntington Arts Cinema where we are today. We've just watched a movie that is different than I would imagine any other movie you've ever seen. First, the title, Curing the Incurable. There have been decades in American history where good physicians, good therapists, people who had natural healing ability were able to impart the gift of healing into people who needed it, and yet they could not say it. For decades, medical doctors, board-certified physicians, people who were able to take cancer and arthritis and dementia, depression, and improve it or reverse it, could not state that because the medical ethic is that only orthodox medicine has the answers to all of our problems. And generally it is some procedure. Now, if it's an emergency procedure, I would agree with it. I fully support all of our emergency medicine. If you have a stroke, a heart attack, if you've got a tooth knocked out, if you had a severed finger, if you've been burned, you're in an auto accident, think of all the different myriad types of conditions that we face in our life. We need the best that we can get to help us in those moments. And that is where American medicine shines. However, that's only about 12% of all medical procedures. Almost 88% of all medicine is chronic care. Cancer, heart disease, elevated cholesterol, blood pressure, and inflammatory conditions. And by the way, dementia and Alzheimer's are inflammatory conditions. And they're working on proprietary treatments, meaning that they need a treatment that someone can patent. And then it's about chronic care. You have to stay on those meds forever. And that's because what we lack in the United States and many other Western countries is an understanding of prevention. So having been in the healthcare system my entire adult life, I was the research fellow at the Institute of Applied Biology and Anti-Aging Medicine. I was the one that did all the unusual research. They thought it was unusual because they were doing cancer research and trying to find the next, you know, great drug through chemotherapy or pain research. And I was the one who wasn't using any medications, instead wanted to see what was possible, what could happen if you only used that which nature provides. And that's where I came up with the concept of the laws of compensation. And this will be paramount to what I'm going to discuss. And the laws of compensation means that the degree you have any imbalance, genetic imbalance, mechanical, viral, bacterial, parasitic, anything that is not working in your body, or emotional imbalance, excessive stress imbalance, you must exceed that. You must go above that in what you're bringing into your body in order to even begin the process of change. The trouble is, we don't do that. We are monotheistic. We're looking for the treatment, the drug. We talk about miracle drugs. Again, insulin was a miracle drug. Antibiotics were a miracle drug. Now we have antibiotic-resistant bacteria, MRSA, because we've overused these. Even not using them directly, when you eat the meat, these animals are fed antibiotics, they don't withdraw it in time, and it goes into your body. Not in large amounts, but everything in life is cumulative. And that's another lesson that medicine and people in general in society simply do not hearken to its message, meaning everything negative and everything positive accumulates. Laughter accumulates a healthy immune system. The more you laugh, the healthier you are. And the more you laugh at yourself, the healthier you are. Because then you're not stressed by thinking you're more important than who you are. Insecurity is a great anchor to our self-esteem. And how many people out there are working 16-hour days because they believe that only by succeeding will someone acknowledge their well-being, their sense of self. Now, as a result, you look back and you'll find epigenetically earlier in their life, their mothers or fathers, their caregivers, did not give them the undivided attention to helping them develop a sense of self. As a result, I know people in a family where the oldest daughter had become at the age of 10 or 12 the real parent for their younger brother and sisters. How many people in this audience can resonate with that? Where if you're older, you had to be the person. Well, then where was there time for you to have your childhood? Where was there time for you to make mistakes, not be criticized for the mistakes, but realize it's a natural process of life? Everything in life is a mistake until we perfect it. Everything. Do you think Fred Astaire or Bilbo Jangles Robinson or the Nicholas Brothers, the best dancing duo in history, the Nicholas Brothers, never got the credit they deserved, never got as many movies they should have had? Eleanor Powell was the greatest woman dancer. Now, some will say Ginger Rogers, but Ginger Rogers was like Gene Kelly. Good dancers, but very muscular mechanical. They were working it. It's like when someone's working hard at something, where Eleanor Powell, it was just flowing. Well, the idea to live a long life, the idea to live a healthier life, is to, you should live your life like Fred Astaire danced, smooth. And we think that, oh my God, how can I do that? I have so many challenges. Never confuse the complexity of a problem with the simplicity of its solution. And we accumulate multiple negative lessons. And that conditions us to believe that life is negative. We accumulate this void where we don't have that sense of being a loving person because we weren't told, I love you. And we weren't given hugs and kisses. And we weren't allowed to make mistakes without being criticized. Because someone wanted us to be more perfect than what is humanly possible. And right now in America, you have tens of millions of young people who have some artificial notion of what it is like to be an adult, but they're looking at their parents as models. And how dysfunctional is that? Especially as a professional class that has plenty of time for their career, very little for everything that's really essential, like their relationships with everything, until it's gone. Until that passage is gone, until the dog dies, and then suddenly, man, I wasn't there to go play with it, spend time with it, now it's gone. Yeah, and it was there all along waiting for you to grow up and mature. But we don't grow up and mature in America. We grow up and get old. And as we get old, we codify all that we feared into the resistance of any change. You go back to reunions, you begin to see people. What are you doing? Nothing. That's it. They're not doing nothing. And they're not going to do nothing for the rest of their life. They think, well, I worked hard. I deserve what? Deserve to stay in a daily ritual of doing the same thing without any vibration, without any relevance to who you actually are. That's playing obedience to a conditioned self. Where people need you to stay the same. My God, Helen over there. Helen, who's done the same thing her whole life. She just listened to stupid cult guy Gary Noll. And now she's eating vegetables. She's nuts. Get her on Valium or something. We need her back. As they sit there massaging around belly, and they're not pregnant. Okay? Yeah, Helen actually realized that maybe she could do something with all these health conditions. We adapt to our health conditions. We adapt in micro moments. And all adaptation becomes maladaptation when you realize that you no longer in control of your life. You have a menu of rituals. If it's Monday, you eat this, you listen to this, you watch this, you talk with anything new, nothing new. Complaining again about the same thing. Complaining again about the same thing. Complaining again about the same thing. You're going to take my advice? No. Call me tomorrow and waste more of my life because you don't have a life. Sound familiar? Call me. What's the problem? Here's the solution. Don't call me again. You should only have to tell a truth once. We have to tell it 10,000 times. What's the magic number for someone to get it? We don't get it because we live in intentional neglect. That's a term I made up because I started asking myself, how do smart people do stupid things and good people do bad things all the time? It's because they're not always good or smart. In the moment you're in, you either choose to be good or smart or stupid and negative. And not realizing then everything in life is fluid because we're living a duality. We want A, but we've been conditioned to accept B. Our desires and our temperament are controlled by B. Everyone's expectation of us is B. You start creating. You start freeing yourself. You scare people. They don't know how to handle you. They were perfectly comfortable when you were just an asshole. Now you're nice and you smile. What are you smiling about? Just feeling good. That's freaking me out. You realize you're freaking me out. We're not used to you smiling. I feel good. And all the while, everyone's sitting around with this whole anal retention. Do you realize how many hemorrhoids we have in America? Jesus. So we don't know how to process stress. We drink, we smoke, we do drugs, we do medications, we complain, we gossip, we malign, and we become Democrat or Republican. That shows you don't have a life. You only have beliefs, right? I believe in Rush Limbaugh. Rush doesn't believe in Rush. I believe in the sanctity of marriage. You voted for a president, and I have nothing but affairs. Well, but God believes he's good. And you start realizing, wow, that person's not going to change. You realize we're not all making it in the boat. Right? That's the reality. Yet we'd like to believe we're all capable of doing everything. No, we're not. I'm never going to be able to, play basketball like LeBron James. So I have to understand, what can I master in life that I can enjoy, that honors who I am, that has a high sense of moral balance to it? Because in my world, it's about service to others. So if I can live an ethical life and be in service to other people and have fun and laugh and joke and grow and always look for solutions, then I'm not adapting. I'm transforming every situation. I'm looking at a problem without the despair of, oh, wow, really? Could you imagine someone comes to my office, says, Gary, I've got terminal illness. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That must, feels bad. You're in pain. You're taking the opiates. Ooh, wow. What can I say? I'm sorry, you're dying. No, people come into my office and we laugh and we have fun. And for a moment, they forgot they had cancer and were dying. And I said, now, who told you you were dying? Well, the doctors. So, they can be wrong. And they frequently are. Why don't you take control of your life and say, I have something to live for? Because let's go back in your history and see why you're diseased. When did that process start? Because remember what I said? All those small little incremental things we don't pay attention to, they all count. They accumulate until one day you have a tipping. Now, all the time I see people are interested in health, but they're fanatical. I don't hang out with any healthy people. I don't. It's true. I don't hang out with vegans. They're the worst. They are. Where's that at? Where'd you get that? Don't use honey. That bee suffered. My God. Do you wash Nature doesn't want you to wash. It cleanses everything. Good idea. Ooh. Remind me not to return the call. I mean, God, self-righteous people are not helping anyone to change. I have friends who eat unhealthy, who are not the same politically, but I love them because of what we share in common. We laugh at everything. And there's a flow with that. And you respect the boundaries. I'm not there with my lawyer friend to ask legal advice. They never ask me a health question. Because then that's not a friendship. That's using someone. So you should be with people that harmonize at the higher level of your being. And when you do that, suddenly, it's a friend that you can always be yourself. You don't have to guard what you say. You don't have to think that somehow they're going to be offended. Because the idea of being around people is that you're with people you like. Therefore, accept them in that moment. Have joy. So I take into my body what my body needs. And I exercise my body so that my body is flexible and fluid. If I want to go out right now and run a marathon, I could. Because again, I accumulate strength, I accumulate endurance, I accumulate health, I accumulate positive feelings and thoughts, and most importantly, I accumulate positive solutions. I can promise you when someone walks out of my office, they have a plan that allows them a chance to live. So I have a very high success rate with terminal patients. But it's not about, I never talk about the disease. That freaks them out. You're not going to give me a written protocol? No, no. You need to laugh. There's nothing to laugh about. I'm not going to laugh. Then you're going to die. So you have to lighten up. We're just wound too tight. And we're looking at the negative instead of the positive. There's so much positive in this world. So many wonderful things, wonderful people, opportunities. But people say, well, circumstances, what circumstances? You create the circumstance. You allow the circumstance. You can change the circumstance. But to change the circumstance, you have to surrender the adaptation, which is based upon insecurity. If I don't do this, I'm going to lose this. And then count what you're going to lose. I'm going to lose my job, which is my income, so I can't go to a job I really like, so I have to commute, clear out here and back, an hour and a half, 3 hours a day, to a job I don't like, around people I don't really care for, so I can live in a house I can't afford and have no quality of life. Wow. No. You have to be able in life to drop all the balls. They're going to drop anyhow. Some are going to rot in your hand before they can drop. We're all going to have loss. We can't save everyone. And generally, we're trying to save the very people who are not appreciative of what we're doing and wouldn't change anything on their own anyhow. And the moment you're not due, boom, they're going right back. So you got to understand, whose life are you living, yours or someone else's? There's a time when you have to be responsible for yourself. Do you know how many people I know now? I know four of them are in the audience right now who are taking care of parents that never took care of themselves. Now their health is gone because they're stressed. You can't live 47, 51, 39 again. And somehow we think, well, I got to do all this. There's a different way of doing it where you don't sacrifice your life. But we're not willing to do that because guilt and shame, that's the anchor. That was the conditioned response. That's what we were led to believe. Guilt, shame, fear, insecurity. Every door you turn to, boom. You get it hit back in your face. You can't do this. That's a bad daughter. That's a bad sister. That's uncaring. I didn't create these people's illnesses. They created them. They never asked for my advice. They mocked me, ridiculed me. I will give them a solution, but I'm not going to give them my life. And yet, there we go, giving our lives until one day we don't have our own. Now we're a mess. And I mean a big mess because stress kills you. So you understand that every choice you make in life has a consequence. Every choice. Little choices, big choices. Everything is cumulative, positive and negative. Now, knowing that, I have to, instead of adapting to a bad job, a bad place, a bad circumstance, a bad situation, I have to live by five principles to succeed in life, be happy, and be healthy. I have to live in the right place. It has to be the right time for me to exercise who I am. I have to have the right idea, something that honors me, but would also be able to be inspiring to other people. I have to have the right support system, and I have to be the right person. Those five elements, if any one of them is not right, no matter what you do in life, it will never work. Life only works and harmonizes when all five of those are working. I could have 500 musicians, but all it takes is for one of them to be playing out of note, and it affects the whole thing. So in our own life, we've been taught just work harder, do more. But the relationship's not working. Well, make it work. Do we realize we shouldn't have this guilt fetish that somehow by not having something work, we're a bad person? Don't blame why it's not working. Try to understand its lesson so you don't repeat it, and let that energy go so both people can begin their own healing process and readjusting to who they should have in their life. Well-intentioned people all the time have people in their life where they're not harmonizing. Don't start adapting to other people's needs of you, because once again, you're gonna always have it wrong, because whatever you adapt to, it's maladaptation. You have to transcend issues, and that's a quantum step. It is not incremental. Well, it'll take time. You'll never do it if you say that. Well, you know, it's a lot of work. You'll never do it if you say it's a lot of work. Well, it's gonna be hard. You'll never do it. The moment you use these excuses, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Huh? Yes?
I know what you're talking about, Gary.
Yeah. The moment you give yourself an excuse, it's too hard, I can't do it, I don't have the resources, I don't have the money, whatever it is, you've just solidified you're going to do nothing. Except you are getting older and you're diseasing. But the trouble is, we're not aware of how fast we age, especially at the biological level. We count upon our chronological age. Let me tell you, you're a lot older than your chronological age because of all that you've done. When you didn't have a really healthy diet, and you weren't exercising every day as you should, and you weren't doing meditation as a natural process of life, and you weren't spending quality time in nature, yeah, you age. Now, here's the important point, and this is something I've discovered after all my life work. We can actually reverse the biological aging. We can literally take 80, 90, and bring it down 5, 10, 20, 30 years. You can add on to your life. But you see, you're looking in a mirror and you don't see anything except the aging process. And I'm saying that's now because you haven't implemented any of these. I'm going to give you a few examples. For example, working night shift overnight, the pineal gland's not able to secrete melatonin, which you need. And getting good rapid eye movement sleep where the room is completely dark and there's no sound, and getting a good 8 hours of sleep and waking up refreshed. So we wake up many times during the day and night because the bladder, because the prostate gland, and that's something that you can reverse. But just working night shift for 10 years can take up to 8 years off your lifespan.
Wow.
Now it's a simple, I'm actually did it as a mathematical model. For example, if you're working around electromagnetic appliances, overhead wires, and now the 5G signals, that will change the telomeres, the end caps of your chromosomes, and can shorten them. And the shorter the telomeres, the shorter the cell lives. To lengthen the telomeres, you have to exercise. You have to take certain foods, a plant-based diet with lots of fresh juices, especially chlorophyll, celery juice, cucumber juice, green apple juice. These are extremely important to cleanse our blood, thin our blood. Now they're telling you, oh, we told you for 40 years to take an aspirin. And of course, there were 24 to 40,000 people dying each year by taking aspirin, by bleeding. Oh, and there were a lot more had a heart attack that we didn't measure, because when you take an aspirin, you destroy vitamin C, folic acid, B12, and B6. You need that to keep homocysteine, a very dangerous marker in the body, inflammatory marker, because when homocysteine starts getting up around 16, 17, 18, 19, you're far more likely to have a heart attack or stroke. So you thinned the blood to prevent a stroke. Now you lowered your you lowered your intake of vitamin C and B complex. Now you're at a greater risk of heart attack. Imagine being a cardiologist. I actually have to get a cardiovascular stress test twice a year for insurance. And my cardiologist takes all the supplements, coenzyme Q10, L-carnitine, cayenne, vitamin E, tocotrienol, pycnogenol, magnesium for his heart. And everyone should. That will prevent a heart attack and prevent C-reactive protein and prevent fibrinogen and homocysteine from being elevated and causing you to die. And it also thins your blood. Vitamin C thins your blood. Vitamin E thins your blood. Why won't they talk about vitamin C and vitamin E thinning your blood? Because if they did that, they wouldn't be honoring the pharmaceutical approach. You got to take warfarin, you got to take aspirin. No, you don't. You simply have to have a diet and lifestyle that keeps your blood thin and your blood oxygenated and your arteries healed. They don't tell you to take pomegranate to heal your arteries, the epithelium, the lining of your arteries. They won't tell you to do that because they're not conditioned to know that. They stay intentionally ignorant, because when you're intentionally ignorant, you're always going to be intentionally vulnerable to the consequences of that ignorance. So people then will say, I didn't know G5, G4, G3, G2 was bad. I didn't know the MMR vaccine could cause. I didn't know that the flu vaccine could cause. I didn't know that. Well, did you want to know? No. Because we don't like competing beliefs. We try to live our lives by one belief. And that's why someone who is, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm a meat eater, they believe that. They don't want to hear your argument. We used to think if you presented reasonable arguments with good evidence, especially scientific-based evidence, that someone would say, that's okay, good, I can change. I don't care what you present to 99% of the people, they're not going to change. So what is the purpose of life if you have allowed yourself to be so rigidified in your behavior and ritualized in your daily routines that there's no room for you to emerge and to try anything? You're going to be afraid of everything. Everything's going to be a threat. Everything's going to be a resistance. Well, I'd like to, there goes the brakes. Now everybody's pushing you to do something. How many times have you been pushed, cajoled by people who know you well, your family and friends, to change? I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then you're going to die. And then you're going to be angry before you die. You're going to be laying there thinking, well, you know, what if I had have changed? Well, what a could have is too late. So when we are stressed chronically, 7 years off our lifespan. When we drink even moderately, 1 to 5 years off our lifespan. When we smoke, depending upon how much you smoke and how long, it could go anywhere from 4 to 20 years off your lifespan. So now you want to know why a John Wayne and so many people who seem to have had it all died young. Because they created such imbalances that the imbalances could not be healed at the genetic level. So when disease is occurring and you're not paying attention to how much you're diseasing, what you're doing to contribute to disease, one day, by the time a symptom manifests, it's at 60 and you're living a life at 10. If you had a perfect diet, 15, perfect exercise, 15, perfect stress management, 15, all the right supplements and juices, another 5 to 7. Well, if you did everything perfect and disease was at 60, you're not going to reverse it. You can slow it down, you won't reverse it. And that's what I've seen. That's what's the unique model that I've created. You have to exceed it, like I said here. You have to do what you haven't done, and that is stop being so damn anal and so rigidified and start lightening up and being more fluid and flexible. Then suddenly that extra 45 to 50% that you weren't engaging in, that people around the world do, go to Spain, go to Italy, go to France, and watch how they enjoy a meal on each other. Look at how they don't take life so seriously. They flow, as historically people around the world did. They had a smoothness in their life. So now, they didn't have the benefit of your vitamins and your nutritionists and your colon therapist and all the other people you might see, but they had something you didn't have that was equally as good. They had a value in what they believed in family, friends, and not having voids. Because we live such deterministic lives, we're feeling that we have to compete and show the world that we have some value, that we're never really at rest. We're always, oh, God, it's the time, oh, time, oh, time, oh, time. Everything is time-based. And then one day your time's up. And the king and the peasant, according to Italian principles, go in the same dirt. Until one day, all that rushing, all that work, all that responsibility, all that commitment is worth nothing because time's up. Now, right now, American women have lost almost 3 years off their lifespan in just the last 10 years. And already it was low compared to women all over the world because you're trying to do too much. You got to do it all. Well, you do it all, half of what you do is going to be done wrong. Because then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're not doing something because you love it and it's encouraging you to be even happier and healthier and something you can share. You're doing it because of commitments and responsibilities. Am I right? Think of how much of your life is based upon being responsible for other people or other things when those people could be responsible for themselves. And then we're made to feel guilty if we want to be less responsible for you and more responsible for myself. Responsibility starts with self. You take care of yourself first. Then you look at what is needed to help other people. I don't surrender the sanctity of my being, the sovereignty of my spirit, because any one of my friends or family are sick. I will help them, but I'm going to help them only to the point where they must help themselves. If they don't, then they've created their own future. I don't live from guilt. There's nothing in my world that's going to make me feel guilty about being a good person, an honest person, a happy person, a kind person. That's who I am. That's why I'm not charging to come out here. That's why I gave my salary for the last 45 years to WBAI and PFW in Washington, where I'm on 5 hours a week for 36 years and all the lectures I've done. Because I don't need to make money to feel secure. I am secure. I don't care where you put me. If you took everything I own away, you've taken nothing that's essential to who I am. And the average person, you take anything away from them and suddenly they melt. And all they do is try to have more of something so they can feel less insecure. They have to have a bigger house or more cars or something. And then it spreads to their children, the progeny. And now you have a whole group living in a bubble, an artificial bubble of insecurity. I counsel a lot of people, and the most insecure people I counsel are always the wealthiest, most powerful. You would not believe how many Nobel Prize winners and famous artists, because I've been counseling since I was very young, because there was no young nutritionist in America. It was just me. Everybody else was old and smoked and drank and weren't healthy. I had nothing to do with health movement. There's no one healthy in the health movement. That's true. Carl Fredericks, these people, they weren't healthy, right? And they didn't know what to make of me, because I was looking at life more holistically. They were looking at it as a career. How do you make money from it? How do you exploit it? So today, everything is commodified. Your only value in life is what you can make other people a profit from. So you don't pay your credit card bill? Good. Watch your interest go up. Now they make more money off of you. What's the Jackson guy's name, the actor?
Samuel L. Jackson.
With that certain attitude that he uses in every role, you know, he could actually act, you know, but they don't need to today. They don't have the charisma or charm. Nobody says, oh, look at the new Cary Grant. Look at the new James Dean. Look at the new Irene Dunne. Look at the new Fred Astaire. Because there are no new people. You don't have to be talented. You just have to be a manufactured commodity that someone's willing to put money in, suddenly they'll advertise and make you seem like you have something you don't have, talent. What's in your wallet, fool? We're gonna give you 2%. But there's not another person saying, Samuel, they're charging 18%. So every day of the week, I would give you $2 if you gave me 18. I mean, we're captivated by half of the issues of life. We don't look at anything from the Gaia, from the holistic. So, If I'm eating a healthy plant-based diet with lots of good quality fiber and protein and polyphenols, antioxidants, I'm adding at least 10 years to my life. If I'm exercising every day according to what my body needs, keep the percentage of my body fat down, I'm adding another 6 years onto my life. And it's a spectrum. It can be more or less depending upon what you're doing and how much you're doing, how long you're doing it. If I take all my supplements, the supplements that I know will stop and slow down the aging process, NAD and PPQ and L-carnosine and pycnogenol, and those are the superstars, then I know that I can add probably another 7 years onto my life. If I have a house or apartment that is filled with vitalism, healthy plants giving oxygen, have clean water to drink, not the tap water, I can add years onto my life. If I deal with stress without personalizing it, someone blows up, gets angry, I don't have to blow up and get angry in return. I can just say, all right, let's talk about what you're feeling. And if someone says something you don't like, don't yell and scream. Simply say, I just want to share this with you. You said some things that I feel were inappropriate. Now, we all do at times. We're all Mel Gibson at some point in our life. No one wants to acknowledge it, but think of the worst thing you've ever thought or said. Now, what if you had to walk around for a week with that on a billboard over your head? People wouldn't perceive you the same, would they? But we're very self-righteous. We're very good at condemning one fool, not looking at what kind of fool we are because we've had the same thoughts or some other stupid thought. This is kind of the sanctimoniousness of people who are very defensive and need someone to attack. You realize there are people in America who are like spitting cobras. They need to get that venom out all the time, all the time. Well, who's the fool, the person spitting the venom or the person sitting there letting it go into their psyche? You have a right to say, you know something? I need to be around healthy, happy people, and at this point, you're neither. So I'm not going to allow you in my life this moment. Now, they're going to get angrier with you. So what? So what? There's a time where you have to cut lines of everybody who doesn't honor you. Now, that de-stressing process, being mindful, meditating, taking the time out of each day, that can add 10 years onto your life. Now, when you're drinking juices, live enzyme-rich juice like beet juice, celery juice, starting your day alkalizing your body with apple cider vinegar, ginger, and lemon, then you are cleaning the liver. You're helping the kidneys. If you're not drinking the sugared fructose drinks, if you're not eating the processed diet, if you're not eating animal flesh, which putrefies in your intestine, you'd never eat a piece of meat that was out on a table at 97 degrees for 3 days. It'd be loaded with bacteria. What do you think is going on in your intestine at 97 degrees for 3 days? Never thought of it, did you? Give me a dollar. So we have to understand a healthy plant-based diet with juices, loading our body with enzymes, taking the right nutrients, exercising, de-stressing, cleansing and detoxifying allows us to rejuvenate. Now when you're rejuvenating your body, you'll see it. It won't take long. You'll start to see that you have more energy when you wake up in the morning. You'll see that your body starts to look different. Over a period of 6 months, you can completely do a whole frame off restoration of your body. And exercising, suddenly you have muscle where you had fat. You have tighter skin, especially in the face. Now, when you're taking quercetin, especially reduced quercetin with vitamin C, you're tightening the collagen. And the collagen gets tighter, then that band that goes from here to there that holds the skin in place, it tightens up. And yet people out here, they'll go to a cosmetic surgeon and they'll get this. Do you think he took too much off? He said it was just perfect. You start to look like Michael Jackson. Because they don't want to do it the right way. They want shortcuts. And there's no shortcut to life. And then have something to believe in. You're going to die twice in your life. The second death will be relatively easy. The first death is extremely painful. you're no longer relevant. Where all the things that we once happy to do, excited to do, up and doing, now somehow that has passed by, that chapter is over, and we're still living with the story of that chapter. How many times do people tell you the same story over and over and over again? Because they are not writing a new story. Write a new story, begin a new journey, and do so with the confidence that no matter what happens, you're going to be in a better place than what you were, because you're going to be wiser. And you can learn the lessons from your past so that there's meaningfulness in your future instead of just routine and rituals. Just think of the people who go to work every day and do the same thing because it's paying them a salary. But where is life? There is no life in that. So we have been conditioned to believe that as long as we're making money for someone else, whatever they give us is worth it. It isn't. And the people who are making the big money are the most stressed. Don't look at their toys. Don't look at their, you know, getting on everyone's whole list, invite them to a, you know, to a party because they're rich and famous or have a big yacht. Because at the end of the day, they're just as lonely and empty as anyone else. And we have a nation filled with sadness and depression. Not because of biological, chemical change in our brain, but because there's an emptiness where we're not filling that emptiness, that void, with something of meaningfulness. We're not living a legacy. Shouldn't we have a legacy that whatever we did in this life, we've left something that can help other people in their life? And when you live a legacy, even if your legacy is to do kind things for other people, that's a good legacy. Nobody remembers how much money someone had because the children and everyone's going to fight for it anyhow. Rule one, leave nothing to your family. Either enjoy it during your life or give it to, you know, an animal sanctuary to help the animals. I know I've had an animal sanctuary my entire adult life. I've had over 3,000 animals I've been able to find homes for, get them healthy, happy. And they're all filled with love when you do that. They can't wait in the morning when you go out to jump over and hug you. That's animals, all right? And we think that they're only for consumption. Wow, where did we get that wrong? So when you respect life, all life, and respect people as sacred beings, they can act sacred, they can act violent. So invite everyone to sit at your table. Now they may be nasty and disinvite themselves, or displeasurable and they disinvite themselves, but at least you weren't biased to limit someone because their ethnicity, age, gender, those are all irrelevant. I don't care what you believe in, that's your business. I care, are you a good person? Because good people can get along. Good people can cooperate. The future is about we, not me. Otherwise, you're going to be a person that watches stuff over the internet or on television and think, wow, but you're not going to become engaged in it. You know, just like how few people show up for demonstrations that impact everybody, like 5G. It impacts everybody. Once 5G comes out here on Long Island,
it's here.
Well, but I'm talking about where all your trees are being cut down. It's only beginning here. When that happens, you're going to end up with nosebleeds, you're going to end up with fatigue, you're going to end up with viruses and bacteria because your body's immune system is going to be compromised. You won't be able to sleep. You'll have wasting. It'll destroy you. We'll have the worst diseases in American history happening when that's fully implemented. And they're doing it out of pure greed. There are 10,000 studies on the dangers of 5G, 4G, 3, and 2, and 1G. There are dozens of people who have testified, 26,000 scientists signed a letter that went to all governments of the world saying, don't use it, don't use it. This is all from peer-reviewed literature, yet in front of a congressional hearing, not a single study was done or being done by the industry who's promoting it. Because they know if they did a study and it was an objective study, it would be shown to be dangerous to us. And the people are sleeping with their cell phones, carrying their cell phones, not realizing how many different smart meters on your homes. You should never have a smart meter on your home. Your smart meter is 100 times worse for you. And that's another problem of what that's going to do to your DNA. So even if you're trying to eat well and live well, if you're having electromagnetic pulses hit your body all the time, you're not going to be well. And you're going to have a lot. You'll end up with conditions similar to chronic fatigue syndrome. So you see, these are the problems we face. So I can either stay and live in an environment that is polluted and adapt to it. I can put my kid in a school and get all the vaccines and put my kid's health at risk because of those vaccines. Or I can homeschool or take them to another place. I don't care what it takes. I would move out of any state that required mandatory vaccines. By the way, Germany is now trying to get mandatory vaccines, including the MMR, Gardasil for adults. Once they've made it mandatory for children, everyone in this room would be required to have mandatory vaccines, multiple vaccines. But then you're going to say, well, I didn't know. Remember, intentional ignorance creates negative consequences. That's where your disaster, like not caring about the power of the world to warm. France just had its hottest day in its history 2 days ago. Germany 2 days ago. The Arctic is right now at 80 degrees. The ice is melting. And when that happens and methane comes up, it's game over. It is literally game over. That does not mean that the world ends. It does mean people all die. It means you no longer will have sustainability because methane is far more powerful than carbon dioxide at warming the planet, and that will create ozone, and we now have an ozone hole down in the Antarctic. When it gets to other places, you can't go outside because within about 30 seconds of being in an ozone hole where the sun comes through, your skin would have third-degree burns. You can burn to death. And that's happening. But you see, all this is happening, and you're really educated on the latest scandals and gossip. You're not educated on anything that's essential to life. Now think of that for a moment. If I ask you anything about the 44 tipping points, could you tell me one tipping point? No. If I told you about, you believe what these people on television are saying about anything, they're not expert. They're talking heads who are propagandists. They're only telling you what they've been told they're allowed to say, and that has to be politicized. And what is politicized today is weaponized. So anybody like myself who's talking about the lack of danger, lack of safety in vaccines or GMO foods sprayed with glyphosate or any of the negatives, our polluted water, we're attacked. We're censored on the internet, on Google and Facebook, and demonized on Wikipedia. So the people who have the truth have no platforms to share the truth. They're very limited. Now, of course, you all in this room are here to watch a film. That means that you're going out of your way to become more informed, so you will not be easily manipulated. Because everything you're watching on television, left and right, it's all propaganda. So when you wake up one day and you know what to eat, your good healthy diet and juice throughout the day, ideally 6 glasses of fresh juice a day. When you're eating only 2 meals a day, and that's all your body requires, you can graze through the day. But you shouldn't be having 3 full meals a day. We're overeating. And caloric restriction is the one single universal truth to reducing the aging process. Eat less calories. You live a longer life. But we're eating because we're frustrated. And we're eating what's on our plate instead of what our body actually needs. I'll give you one example of this. We could reduce global warming. We could help save the planet if everyone simply went to a plant-based diet. Why? Because there are 80 billion animals being raised each year for human consumption. They require massive amounts of soybeans. There's not enough room in China and India to grow soybeans, so they go to the Brazilian rainforest, and they're cutting down the equivalent of 3 football fields every 60 seconds. And right now, we're only a couple months away, certainly within 6 months, to where if they continue at this pace, which they will, you will not be able to reverse it. And then it tips. The lungs of the planet are gone, in which case there'll be a massive increase in carbon dioxide. Now, at the same time, the Arctic is melting. The Himalayas are melting. All the glaciers are melting. Well, the Himalayas provides water for seven major rivers. For example, tell me the 7 rivers that feed over 1 billion people their water. Don't know, right? Isn't that important we know? Yes, it's important. It's important, and we're intentionally ignorant because of all the time we waste each day, and you waste a lot of time, learn things that are relevant to who you are and what you need. When you do that, at least if nobody else is going in the right direction, you are going in the right direction. Don't be a part of the herd. The herd's never right. You know, they're mindless. Step outside of the herd. Show your independence. Don't be afraid. And there again, that's part of that condition, the epigenetics. Well, I don't want to be different. Yeah, be different. Let your authentic self out. Challenge. Be unique. All right? Don't be like everyone else. Even when we were warned time and again by people who mattered, George Orwell told us, he just didn't write that book about 1984 just as a throwaway novel. He wrote it because he saw where we were going. And at the same time he was doing that work, Aldous Huxley was telling us with Brave New World that we're going towards a society that thinks it can solve every problem with the medication. And that's how we look at everything today. We pathologize life. We pathologize being old. We pathologize children. 10 million children are taking a psychiatric drug each day. That's not, children are not a pathology. They're not a disease, but they're a profit stream. So as long as you can convince someone your kid is acting out. No, maybe my kid is bored by you as a teacher. Maybe you're just a dumb, stupid, lazy-ass teacher, which is a lot of teachers. Have the courage. When was the last time teachers went out on strike against their curriculum or how it's taught or the corruption within the educational system? They haven't. People only protest when it personally affects them. How selfish is that? We're not a united anything, except in gluttony. We have more obesity than ever in our country's history, and we're the fattest nation in the world per population in the world. We have more diseased kids than any other country per population. We have kids with arthritis, right? Kids shouldn't have arthritis or heart disease, and that's normal. No, that's the new normal. So when you're able to stand up and look at things that are out of balance and try to create balance, then that's a big plus in reversing the aging process, because aging is where you've done everything wrong intentionally, and now one day you manifest disease, unintentional. You didn't want heart disease, nobody wakes up, I want heart disease. I want some diabetes, I feel left out. Everybody's got diabetes. Everybody seems to have a disease I don't have, and I feel I need to be with them. We need to suffer together. You know, Oprah, the queen of let's all get together and make her rich while she tells everyone how to cure themselves and nothing efficacy. No one ever is cured of anything watching that. But let's pretend that we care about people. So we have all these pretenders who are exploiting the public. And the public just lines up, says, I got diabetes, I got heart disease, I got cancer, I got digestive problems, I got colitis, I got diverticulitis. Yeah? Why? Well, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. One hamburger won't destroy your heart. One cigarette won't destroy your lungs. One glass of alcohol won't destroy your liver. But you keep doing that, and in 5 or 10 years, you're going to have a diseased liver, heart, kidneys, and brain. Do you want to change? Well, I don't think so. I mean, my doctor didn't tell me. Your doctor's an idiot. And he's got the same damn disease as you do. Look at him. Is he in ideal health? Is he happy? Is your psychiatrist happy? No psychiatrist is happy. They're all nuts. And it's a completely unscientific cult, psychiatry. How do I know? I'm doing another documentary. And that documentary is called Manufacturing Madness, taking a healthy, mentally, physically healthy, not 27-year-old woman, into seeing 12 doctors. They all diagnosed her with different mental illnesses and prescribed drugs within 2 to 7 minutes. Then when I confront them out on the street, they make excuses. You see, almost everything, when it's put to an acid test, doesn't show truth. So you've got to get to where you're looking for the truth in your own lives and stop being a conditioned person. When you do that, you've added 30 years onto your lifespan. Thank you.
That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.